Good morning and welcome to worship from Westwood Church. I'm Reverend Molly Vetter and it's my joy to welcome you to our worship today. Wherever you're joining us from, your home, whether nearby in Los Angeles or somewhere far away, we welcome you to this time and space together. Our worship is richer because of the diversity of people who participate. We give thanks for the image of God as it becomes revealed to us through the bodies and lives of people of all ages and races, sexual orientations, and gender identities. So welcome to this space. We are glad that you're here. And we do hope that you'll participate as much as you're able. You can download our worship guide. The link is in the video description. And have words to pray with us and sing with us as we go from your living rooms or wherever. I encourage you to let this be a time of worship, to sit differently in your seat, to breathe deeply the breath that fills our lungs and connects us in the Spirit of God. It's Valentine's Day, a fine time to remember and give thanks to a God who's known as love. So welcome to this space. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Prayer by Enfleshed. There are times when God calls us to come and rest, be at peace. Wisdom meets us like a friend, settling our anxiety and bringing us comfort. There are times when God comes to us through chaos and disorder. Love moves like a mighty wind, troubling all efforts to dominate and control. God brings stillness. God stirs up. God is restful and restorative. God is wild and disruptive. Holy companion, so much violence is born from our need to control. Every day, fear and uncertainty are weaponized through words, policies, and institutions. In a world that idolizes security, teach us to be open to the gifts of letting go. May we not be reckless with vulnerability, but practice patience with discomfort and solidarity through trouble. Amen.
This morning's reading is from Psalm 50. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is a judge. Salah. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading for today is the story of the Transfiguration from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 9, beginning with verse 2. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. This Sunday, we celebrate the Transfiguration, an event in the middle of Jesus' adult life and ministry where a mystical experience put on display the holiness that he possessed. The glory of Christ became perceptible, visible to Peter and James and John, who hiked with him up a mountain that day. I think of this moment of transfiguration as one that's deeply embedded into the life and character of our congregation, in part because it's the centerpiece of our glory window here in our beautiful sanctuary. This window tells the story of Jesus' life and ministry, starting in the bottom left and going upward through each column. You can see the Christmas story on one end and the Ascension and Pentecost at the far end. But in the very middle, in this yellow orb, sits Jesus transfigured, the centerpiece of this display, this visual proclamation of glory. I love that our congregation has a visual translation of this story that comes to us in text, an effort to convey a power of God's presence and mystery in the world using inadequate means. The words get us close, but cannot get us all the way there. The images help us dare to imagine what's possible in this world because of who God is, but they don't get us all the way there. We're limited because words and images put particulars into our imagining, which are true but not complete. Which is this morning, in part, why our final redefining faith word is silence. In the face of mystery, it is sometimes hard to know what to say. And as we try to make sense of complexities that we feel we cannot come to the end of, a faithful response can be silence. Of course, silence also can be harmful, painful, when no one speaks up on behalf of something wrong in the world. When silence is enforced and expected to quiet one who has been harmed by another, when our institutions ask silence of those who have suffered abuse or experienced oppression, silence can be a dangerous tool used for harm. And when we await a word of hope or promise, silence can be such a heavy burden. When we're alone in our homes during this long season of pandemic, hungry for the voices of others to fill our spaces, when we grieve one who is no longer here on earth, the silence can be such a prison. But there's something else that invites us to a deeper connection to silence that's not an absence of life, but that teems with life. A silence that is a fertile matrix out of which the presence of God springs. And that's the silence I hope we might ponder today. At risk of being a little trivial, I confess that I found a wild amount of delight this week in a viral video from a Texas courtroom where a lawyer appearing in a Zoom courtroom over video chat accidentally appeared with a filter on his camera so that he appeared as a cat. Maybe you saw this in the nearly minute-long video. There's a wild exchange between this lawyer and the judge as they try to sort out what's going on. The lawyer's words are hilarious, and the visuals of this cat face with eyeball movements is one that just lifts, I don't know, maybe you're frustrated with the limitations and inadequacies and complexities of technology, but this just gave visual form to all of our fears and frustrations about how technology works and was hilarious. The lawyer says, "I want you to know I'm here live, I'm not a cat." And the judge replies, "I can see that," which at once was both hilarious. And as I reflected on it, a window into just how complicated it is to describe accurately what we read or know or see or hear or believe. I think it's wild that the judge said, "I can see that," because literally he couldn't see that he was not a cat. He appeared as a cat, but he was not. It's so common in our use of language to attempt to say something that we really mean using words that mean something else entirely. "I can see that," the judge says. But he couldn't. He couldn't really see that. He knew that and understood it because of what he knew and understood and how they were interacting. And it's comical to think of the misses in communication and the space they open up. This Sunday, as we celebrate Transfiguration, the Texas judge, or Texas lawyer, transfigured as a cat, is there sitting in our cultural awareness this week. I'm aware that we also think of transfiguration using what we've learned from reading Harry Potter books for a generation or two of children raised on these stories of wizards who participate in spells of transfiguration, of transforming one object or creature into another. There's something helpful about making this word known, and yet something happening in this gospel story that's a more, that's a something else. It's not merely transferring one thing into another, but it's a revealing of a deeper truth underneath what's apprehensible through our senses, what we can see and hear and know. There's a something else that's being revealed, a truth underneath what we can perceive. And this morning, as we celebrate Transfiguration, as we honor the gift of silence, I hope you might dare to make space in your life for a quieting of everything else so that God's voice might speak again or anew. The important 20th century American religious leader, scholar, administrator, and mystic Howard Thurman wrote articulately about God speaking into these moments of stillness and silence. He and his wife, Sue Bailey Thurman, were important leaders that pushed our understanding of religion far beyond the institutions and the structural forms of our religious communities to a something deeper, a something powerful that connects people across traditions and deeply within themselves. As the flaws and limitations of our systems and communities, as the realities of our racism and sexism and oppression become embedded in our structures, it is such a gift to know and claim a something else that's there all along, a true church that exists alongside the visible structural parts of who we are. There's a record of a correspondence between Howard Thurman and Walter Fluker, another leader in work for civil rights. Fluker was in a moment of angst and sought counsel and guidance and direction from Thurman, who wrote back to him these words: "You must wait and listen for the sound of the genuine that is within. When you hear it, it will be your voice. And that will be the voice of God." Thurman believed and trusted in a something more that lies under the surface of everything here on earth, that's embedded deeply within ourselves and our community, but that requires our attention, that requires we risk being in silence and stillness. And sometimes this is so hard because we've been trained to believe that hard work pays off, that doing more somehow makes it better, that a little more of our labor or thought, that more words of explanation will make it clear, will improve things. Into that, against that way of thinking, Thurman and this moment of transfiguration invite us to simply be still, to let go of our need to control or hold on, to explain and make sense of, and simply invite ourselves to be brought into that gift of mystery. If Thurman's correct, and I believe he is, when we've made space, when we've found stillness sufficient for us to perceive what God is saying, it will come in a voice that is also our own. It will be particular to who we are, to the complexities and nuance of our stories. It will use the best of what we love and who we've been. It will use our traumas and our gifts, our insights and our passion for a something else into which God will speak. This morning, as we contemplate silence, I think of how complicated it is to use words to explain this. So I'm grateful to preach here in this worship when we have music and poetry and prayer as well to articulate and make space for what God is doing, because it's not meant for my heroic explanation, but I simply speak in testimony to a something more, to a presence of God that's found through the fabric of creation that draws us forward toward life, that says the silence of this moment, the loneliness and isolation some of us experience, the grief we bear, the reality of the failings of institutions and structures that no one spoke up on our behalf or on the side of justice. These silences become not dead ends, but the fabric of the world into which God speaks as something still more. The psalmist so often helps us. The poetry pushes us beyond ourselves to a broader view of the world. And today in Psalm 50, the psalmist points us up to the heavens. Now, as the psalmist writes these words, people understood the heavens much differently than we are today. Neither the realm of the afterlife nor the vast cosmos that we experience. The heavens, as the psalmist describes them, were this dome stretched over the flat surface of creation onto which stars are hung and above which the waters above are held. The heavens then become a way of describing the what's out there. And today in 21st century U.S. America, we dare to be people who continue to push to understand more about what is out there. As we seek to know the wonders of this cosmos, as we seek to understand what's at work in the innermost networks of relationship and being that make up reality itself. And we celebrate the work of science and physics and helping us articulate and understand mechanisms and relationships that describe the complexities of life in this world. Just this week, news headlines tell us that scientists may have found a portal to access a fifth dimension. And I confess, I cannot really understand exactly how to visualize what that would be, or how it would look, or how I might make sense of it for my life. But I sit here in this place in wonder, struck by awe at a world that I cannot fully understand. And I receive that lack of understanding as a gift, because it's a fertile space into which we find life, trusting that it's not ever left us out, that it invites into this belonging everything that is, all the precious particular wonder of what is. I was turning again this week to the writing of Barbara Holmes, whose work, Race in the Cosmos, connects the work of traditional African spiritualities, Black American Christianity, and a study of the universe as we contemplate the cosmos. She invites us in this moment, in this time, to turn our attention out to the cosmos as a way of awakening to the wonder of God. She writes, "Up above our heads, there are worlds unknown and a canopy of grace, light, air, and water that support our survival. Without realizing it, we expend massive amounts of energy to block out the vastness of our universe. This is to be expected, for in its totality, this information can be more than human systems can take. However, by riveting our attention on the mundane, we filter out the wonder that is available with each breath. Instead, she suggests, we might dare to be attentive, not only to the realities of oppression and injustice, but also to the gift of beauty and wonder and mystery as they are present in our midst. And not only mystery as it's articulated in a poetic and artistic sense, but mystery as science seeks to understand more of a world that we cannot describe completely. Holmes, in her work, through her voice as a Black American theologian and scholar, invites us to dare to believe that in and through everything that is that we can see, in and through the church that we name and describe, that we claim responsible decisions for and worship with, in and through all those external structures, there's a something more at work, a something deeper and powerful. And on this Transfiguration Sunday, we dare to believe that glory is present all around us. Now, at risk of trying to use too many words to explain that I don't think I can explain anything, I invite you in this moment to simply sit in wonder. This morning, we've chosen some music to include here in our worship that borrows a song I learned early in my childhood. Perhaps you did as well. It's a simple song. And this morning, I hope that it will connect you to a childlike posture of wonder and trust, a daring to believe in your belovedness, in the belovedness of all creation, a daring to claim and speak, proclaim again in our distinct voices, in the richness of who we are, and with the baggage of all of our stories, that Jesus loves us. We know this because we found it in Scripture. It's been sung to us in Psalms. It was displayed in beautiful art. It's held before us now, a mystery we cannot fully possess, but that opens us outward into a silence where God's voice speaks clearly that we are beloved. May it be so. Amen.
The prayer that I'll be praying this morning is from Shaping Sanctuary, Proclaiming God's Grace in an Inclusive Church. It's coming from the manyvoices.org organization. Let us pray together. Radiant God, source of light and source of mystery, as you surrounded Jesus with your glory, so you come to us in penetrating brightness. You catch us off guard and expose our weaknesses. We are silent before you. But we confess that we choose the limelight, while you call us to explore the shadows and brighten the darkness. We seek the spectacular, while you bind up the broken in countless acts of mercy. We seek to stay on the mountain, or in a comfortable pew, or on our couches at home, while you walk the valleys of need. Radiant God, fill us with light and courage to carry good news into all the corners of the world, and to bring back the very joy of your presence. Amen.
Now please join me praying the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. I hope that you have felt God's presence where you are, and that you continue to hold it with you as you move through this week. I'm especially grateful for all of the ways that you have persisted in connecting more deeply to God and to the life of this congregation and our communities during this season of pandemic, and I encourage you to continue to do so. There is a follow-up right after worship at 11 a.m. by Zoom. You're invited to join us for conversation and connection about this morning's themes. The e-news should have arrived on Friday. If you didn't get it and want to, I hope you'll go to westwoodumc.org/connect to share information about yourself or prayer concerns so that we might hear them. You're also invited to go to our website to give your tithes and offerings. We're so grateful for the ways that you give of yourselves in support of our ministries. This week, we begin the season of Lent, and this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We invite you to observe Ash Wednesday with us, and we've mailed you some materials to help you do that if you're on our mailing list. You can also find them in an email that we'll share this week and online. They're prayers that you can do along with us. We will live stream at 9 in the morning from here in the sanctuary. You can do it with us live or later in the day by watching the video, or you can do it on your own. If you're tired of looking at screens, all the information is there so that you can pray from where you are. You might even think of someone who you might call or reach out to join by video chat to share a liturgy with someone you've been missing from our community. I encourage you to use this season as an opening to connect ever more deeply with God. And this Lent, we encourage you to take up the practice of savoring. Rather than adding another fast into our lives, I encourage you to savor the gift of life where it is to be found, even in this meantime. We'll have more to say about that in coming weeks, but I do hope that you'll join us this Ash Wednesday for worship at 9 a.m. or later or on your own. Thank you for being here today and a part of our community. Now, as we conclude this time together today, I pray that you would feel the gift of God's love and mystery, that you would have a spacious silence in which your heart might be drawn nearer to a God whose love we cannot fully understand, and that you would hear it affirming again and again your belovedness and the belovedness of this world. Be in peace. Amen.